All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
In a new suit.
You know it.
Coming up, we'll tell you how the NFL can avoid another Saints-Rams controversy.
And if LeBron James is still starting to put Magic Johnson on that hot seat, what happened? But we start every day with the Whitlocks. What you got today, big dog?
Rams defensive back Nickell Roby-Coleman is continuing one of the Super Bowl's great traditions. He's consulted with his agent or his boys from college and made the decision he's going to be Super Bowl 53's Joe Namath. Roby-Coleman is attempting to trash talk his way into Super Bowl history. He started the week taking aim at Tom Brady, suggesting that age had eroded the quarterback's performance. In the same Bleacher Report interview, Roby-Coleman expressed his disdain for the Patriots. He said, "I've got Buffalo blood running through my veins. So, you know, I hate these guys.
Off you.
I naturally hate them. I never liked New England." He called the Patriots arrogant. He said Belichick will run up the score in the fourth quarter. He said the Patriots love antagonizing their opponents. Stuff like that, little stuff to look down upon a team, little a-hole stuff like that. That's what makes you not like New England. Roby-Coleman calls himself the slot god. If he's not careful, when the Super Bowl is over, we'll be calling him the slot fraud. Coleman needs a history lesson on Super Bowl trash talk. Before there was a Joe Namath in Super Bowl III, there was a Fred the Hammer Williamson in Super Bowl I. Williamson played for the Kansas City Chiefs. Before playing the Packers, Williamson, a defensive back with a reputation for big hitting, ran his mouth about shutting down the Packers receivers. Medical personnel carried Williamson from the field on a stretcher, and the Chiefs lost the game. You want more history? Leading up to Super Bowl XIII, Cowboys linebacker Hollywood Henderson famously proclaimed that Terry Bradshaw couldn't spell cat if he spotted him the C and the A. Bradshaw tossed four touchdowns and was named the Super Bowl MVP. Henderson had no impact on the game. Thurman Thomas used Super Bowl XXVI to bitch about a lack of respect. He forgot his helmet and missed the game's first two plays. Philly receiver Freddie Mitchell called himself Fred X because he always delivered. He promised he had something for Patriots safety Rodney Harrison in Super Bowl 39. Harrison had two interceptions and a sack in New England's victory. Mitchell had one catch for 11 yards. Every year, someone volunteers to play the fool in the Super Bowl week. It's the equivalent of playing the lottery. You buy a ticket hoping you're the next Joe Namath. In this era of hyper-obsession with individual brand building, there's little downside for the individual. Roby-Coleman is building a nice little social media following this with his pregame trash talk, but it's not helping the Rams. That's why Aqib Talib, Brandon Cooks, and Wade Phillips have been so effusive in their praise of Tom Brady. That's why Roby-Coleman spent opening night at Super Bowl walking back his Brady comments.
I could never talk about somebody that's like the sensei of football. You can't talk about the sensei of football. Like, it's a respect level. And at this point, I feel like a little disrespected that people think that would disrespect Tom Brady. I got nothing but respect.
All right, the damage has been done. Roby-Coleman has given the Patriots the emotional edge they've used as fuel for two decades. That edge doesn't guarantee a Patriot victory. It just makes the Rams' task harder. All right, joining the desk now are Fox NFL analysts Greg Jennings and Sean Merriman. Marcellus, I'll start with you. I think Roby-Coleman's comments will have an impact on this game. I think he's hurt the Rams.
Okay, I remember when I retired, someone told me to always respect the mundane, respect the little things, because not everyone's lived that experience. So, Jason, I'm going to respect where you're coming from right now, but dang, man. If you think that someone is walking into this game not already filled to the brim, to the max in motivation, you think that words or something on a bulletin board or some fine print from Nickell Roby-Coleman is going to do something to Tom Brady and others, you're highly mistaken. But let's just talk about that emotional advantage. I think it's with the Rams. I think the emotional advantage is with the Rams because even in the big moments, they're sticking true to their spirit and to their guns. If this is who you are, the slot god, you know what? When you're going against the GOAT, don't change who you are. And I like the fact that he is talking the same talk that has gotten them this far. But I just can't even fathom that this is going to do anything in New England's locker room in terms of motivation.
There's no other, there's no better team at taking this motivation than the New England Patriots. They are the king at finding bulletin board material before games and putting it up there and finding a way to find that motivation to go out and win another football game. They somehow has been able this whole season to become the underdogs. How do you have that many Super Bowl and look at yourself as an underdog? They have taken the little bits and pieces of the media and what other players have said about them and put it up on the bulletin board and go out and win more football games. Now, the part I don't like is who it's coming from. If Aaron Donald said this, I'd be sitting back saying, yeah, dog, you good. You know, whatever. Slot guy. I mean, he's a good player. Don't get me wrong, but he's not somebody that plays all downs. He's not somebody that's going to travel with somebody's best wide receiver all the time. So if another guy had said this, I might have actually been okay with it. But you're not the one to say it.
Why is that?
Because you don't want to put
– It's who you are, though.
Yeah, that's who you are.
Yeah.
Right? That's who you are because you don't have to go and travel with another team's best wide receiver.
Fred X.
You get what I'm saying?
T.O. was on the same team with Fred X, and Fred X was running his mouth.
Yeah. And if T.O. ran – in that case, if T.O. ran his mouth, I'd be totally fine with it.
Freddie was balling that year.
This,
nobody hear you.
This won't have any negative impact on the Rams. I mean, the Rams are who they are.
Will it have a positive impact on the Chiefs, on the Patriots? But go ahead.
I don't think it – don't get me wrong. To your point, yes, the New England Patriots utilize anything to, for somehow, some way, some reason, motivate inside their locker room. They don't need any more, but if you throw some fuel on that fire, they will utilize it. And they master how to utilize it, but it won't change. After the first couple snaps, trust me, I'm not thinking about, oh, remember you said this? No, I got to focus on what I need to get done. Now, if I make a couple plays, I might throw it back in your face.
Right.
But when the ball is snapped, and when that whistle was blown and the clock starts ticking down, I'm not thinking, oh, I'm going to get him. No, I'm just going to do what I do, and hopefully we win, so then I can come back and be like, got you, boss.
But you're talking about once the game snaps. I'm talking about leading up to the game and the whole week of preparation and the focus and the energy it takes to get to the game. And, Marcellus, I'll say this. I really didn't truly buy this type of bulletin board deal until Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech. And how he talked about he looked for fuel anywhere and used anything, made up a story that he got cut from high school and had bitterness towards that coach. And again, there's something different about the Bradys, the Michael Jordans, and the people that pursue being the greatest of the greats. They're a little off.
You said he made up something, right? And you know what's funny about athletes? It's amazing when you're, like you said, in preparation, I'm going to be fully motivated. In the moment of truth, like you said, Greg, I got to lock in. We all know, like the Jets fly over, whoo, national anthem, whether you're standing or kneeling, whatever happens. All of a sudden, you hear that foot hit the leather, bulletin board material gone, everything. And Michael Jordan said, yeah, I made up a story to even get me motivated. It's amazing that the content of what prepares us has to have a story. So then after the fact, like you said, if you make a few plays, you start to make the story happen. Oh, remember you said this? But guess what? Even if you didn't say that,
right,
in that moment, I still was going to be looking at you like, boy, you can't deal with me. Yeah. So all I'm saying is I'm going to get to the same place whether you give me a story with it or not. And Tom Brady doesn't need your story.
Why are they on the sidelines talking about it? Why after the game is Tom Brady mocking the people that doubted him? This guy uses this kind of fuel. Y'all keep saying it's going to, once the game snaps, they're going to forget.
What?
When I watch the, dude, they talking about
but
it
but he's been favoring so many games, so many Super Bowls. So what was the story then? It wasn't underdog. It wasn't y'all talking
they
about
come
me.
Up, they come up every year.
Every year
they had one.
But the point
when they
is,
played the
changes.
Rams the first time, remember they came out as a whole group team and, oh, my God, this is the greatest
but that
show
wasn't Tom Brady
AstroTurf.
Either.
Again,
what about when they were?
He uses the same fool. And when you talk about mundane, this is this dude's ninth Super Bowl.
Yes.
And he has to, because it is mundane to him, this is ninth, he has to
find
use
something.
Little things
But if you always finding something, then doesn't that mean to you that he doesn't need anything? He will find something within himself and then attach it to what's out there. What you mean? He already has it in him.
But he did give it to him, and it shows you when Roby, the second time he came around and the cameras came in his face, what did he do? He backtracked. Because I think that someone told him when he finally realized, I just took a shot at the GOAT. I just took a shot at the Patriots, and I put my whole team on the. See, this is what happens when you make these comments as a player. It's not just about you anymore. Now what's going to happen is when the camera get put in one of your teammates' face, they're going to ask a question about what Roby said. Hey, man, he said he's going to come out Tom Brady old and he can't do this anymore. Now you're putting your teammates and everybody else in jeopardy, and then they're going to back you up and ride with you. But at the same time, you jumped out there. You made a comment, and now you got to backtrack on because now you're putting your team in jeopardy.
No, you don't.
Malcolm
Jenkins, Lane Johnson, Alshon Jeffrey last year.
All players.
Exactly. But you know what?
All players.
They could have played. But they could have played bad and still would have been saying that.
But that's huge. And I think I said this earlier on Undisputed, and you make a great point. It really matters who says it. Because when Jimmy Johnson from the Dallas Cowboys, their head coach, wrote that check, that team cashed it because they felt like this is our head coach. If Aaron Donald came out and said this, if Jared Goff came out, it's a different delivery. It's a different approach from the team now. This is our guy. They're not looking at Cale Roby Coleman as this is one of our leaders on our – I guarantee you.
Okay, you're giving me story, give me measurables. So if Cale Roby says something – where's your motivation? Is it going to be less or is it going to be more? Is it going to be the same? Versus if Aaron Donald says it. You're really trying to tell me that a team is going to have a different emotional involvement based on, our leader said go get it? You're not already at the max?
This is the thing. I may not need that extra motivation, but somebody else on our roster, of course. Aaron Donald speak, I'm listening. Nicole Roby speak, I'm not going to listen as much.
Marcellus, in the Super Bowl?
Marcellus.
Against the Patriots?
Marcellus, here's the issue you can't understand it. You don't believe in 110%.
No, it doesn't.
I do.
Okay.
I do. I do think there's another level you can go to. Because I can remember, I thought I worked hard in high school. Then my college coach was like, let me redefine to you what working hard is. And it's like, hell, I didn't even know this existed. And when I left, I still didn't know it existed. That's why I wasn't a great player. I saw others that knew, no, there's another level to this. And when I look at Brady, when I look at Michael Jordan, and then, I'm telling you, when Michael Jordan said it, it made me realize something about myself as a sports writer, something I was extremely obsessed with and passionate about. Man, anybody that ever said a negative thing about me as a sports, I think about and thought about them every day.
Yeah.
And that was my fuel. And I went and looked for it. And this person here don't like me. I could go down a whole list of people that said ignorant things about me as a sports writer, and I still remember. And it was my fuel to be a great sports writer. There's a whole different level to this,
but
there
careful,
is 110%.
Be careful how you term that, because what you thought was 100% probably was 88. And you sitting around, walking around, told I'm 100%. And then when somebody challenges you, you go to 90 and think you were 110. Bruh, I'm just telling you, your potential, max
I'll go with your explanation then.
Yeah.
And so Brady has figured out a way to go, damn, I was given 90. Now they're getting 91 out of me, 92, 93. And these other guys, Nicole Roby Coleman, he's given 73 and thinks he's given 100.
Do we not understand? The simple math is one team's going to win, one team's going to lose, right? So it's not 50-50, but one team is going to smile, one team's going to frown.
Yeah.
You going out there talking, I don't know how many plays talking makes. In moments of truth like this, please explain to me. I've never heard you say something to me. You know what's on the line? Legacy. The fact that you could be a champion. The accolades, the money, the pride. And then a stranger comment from somebody who I'm already trying to destroy is going to get me amped up more?
If it was another team that he came out and said that against, I would say this. A wide receiver, tight end, or somebody will be looking to do something to him personally, right? I'm going to go out and, he's standing around a pile too long. I'm going to go do something, hit him later, whatever it's going to be. Because you said this to the Patriots and they do everything so team-oriented, you just put them on a whole nother platform to go out and get ready to play you. That's all I'm saying. They've made a career out of doing this. The only reason why I'm saying this is because from what I hear in 2006, I don't know if you remember when they came out and they did it in the playoff game and everybody was doing lights out dance right after the game, the whole team.
Yeah. Yep.
From what I heard, they were talking about that before. It's the reason why the entire team was doing it, not three guys. So what I'm saying is they saw that every time I had a sack or a big hit or a play, that was talked about as a team. So you don't want to do anything to encourage these guys. I'm not saying you go and do anything different. I'm not saying you change or be a different person. But what I'm saying is if you jump out there and you make those kind of comments and you're not the guy who can back it up, you're going to be in trouble.
We don't even have to go that deep. If you were... You play basketball, or you try to.
It ain't that.
But my point is, if you went to one of these gyms around here locally, mm-hmm. and somebody just said, "Oh, Marcellus here. Oh, I'm about to smash on Marcellus," mm-hmm. it may shift your entire approach. You may just be going there to just get a good run. Now all of a sudden, I'm gonna give him a little bit more.
Yeah. All that's true, but Charles Oakley ain't gonna come out of me. I'm gonna still be the bum Marcellus Wiley on the court trying harder.
Let me give you a different example. There's a reason why the Patriots handle their business better than others, and I think it's part of this. Eugene Robinson, he was playing in the Ultimate Super Bowl, but he still went out tricking before the Super Bowl and got in trouble. Mm. And so again, everybody's focus isn't the same just because it's a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Eugene Robinson thought he was given 100%. Mm. And then they put the cuffs on him. Mm. Whole different story.
Lost it all for that 2% milk. Yeah.
So again, I'm just telling, why give the Patriots, with the Super Bowl's meant this ninth time, why give them anything that just puts them on edge?
Please give me this one. Sloppy. This example, 07, undefeated Patriots. Plaxico Burress went out there and said, "We beating them." Went out there and said it.
Plax.
But Plax ain't the
exactly.
team.
Exactly.
And Plax backed it up. How do we know that Nikhil can't back it up? So in this moment.
Because he's Nikhil Roby Smith or Roby Coleman.
My God.
And we never heard of him until he hit the guy late last week or pass interference.
Yeah.
Slot God.
Y'all playing with scared money. I get it. A lot of it's fear-based. Oh, man, don't say something because look how he's going to respond to it. I want your best. I want Tom Brady to go out there and light it up against me if I'm a true believer in me and my team. I'm not going to say,
I want him slipping. I want to make him slip.
I'm not going to sit there in fear and hope my words butters him to a point where he's not his greatness. That's where I'm a little distant from that kind of motivation.
All right, stick around. Later in the show, we'll give you our approval ratings for Nikhil Roby Coleman, and Uncle Jimmy will weigh in. All right, Jimmy, what are your thoughts so far?
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Give me stories or give me measurables. The words of Mark Celsius Wiley.
Hey, guys. Jason Whitlock here. Thank you for listening to the Speak for Yourself podcast. If you like what you hear, you should take a minute to check out the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast, hosted by The Herd's very own Joy Taylor. On the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast, you'll tap into a different take on the world of sports. Joy will break down all the biggest stories from the NFL, NBA, culture, in and out of sports, and everything in between. So subscribe now for a weekly episode of Maybe I'm Crazy every Tuesday night on your favorite podcast platform. Now back to the show.
Time for a big story. Let's move to the NFL, where the controversial no call at the end of the NFC Championship game is still hanging over the league. After two Saints fans filed a lawsuit against the NFL, the league admitted in court documents that the officials blew the call. And while a lot of people are now calling for more replay, Fox's rules expert Mike Pereira has a different solution, saying the league should add, quote, an eighth official as part of the crew, travels with the crew, and give him the ability to be on site in an enclosed booth with a technician to look at the play on television in real time and correct obvious mistakes that are big plays and involve player safety and pass interference and be able to correct some of this stuff. I completely agree with Mike here. I've said for a long time that I think it should be maybe two or three officials calling the game from above. I would maybe go down to five or six actually on the field and use two or three. I think the view from above, this game moves so fast now that watching the game from above and trying to officiate from above with the help of television is a great way to improve the game.
I like it. I really like it. I'm not in love with it. I think it's a step in the right direction. But it doesn't get us to the proper conclusion. It's still a little half pregnant for me. If you have someone on site watching as an official, that's obviously going to enhance it. Using the technology is going to enhance it. But I have something that I think will really just solve it and just get us to the finish line. We have to use the technology. This is 2019. The NFL is making $25 billion. Let's use the technology. It's funny, I watched tennis, and I was watching Australian Open, I'm sure a lot of us. Their instant replay system not only is effective, but guess what? It's interesting. People are sitting there holding their breath, rooting, is it in, is it out? Oh, and everyone's a part of it. Here's just how you get everyone a part of it, and this is how you solve it. You have a control center back in New York, back at the NFL headquarters. He's watching every game. Just like when we watch multi-channels, he's watching the game, dedicated officials for every game. You use the technology when a flag is thrown, hey, sensor goes off, IFB in the official's ear, let's discuss this right now. While the game is still going on, you talking to him, he already threw the flag, he already knows what it is, you already know, right? We can communicate in those 10 to 20 precious seconds, the viewer, it's seamless to us, and then finally when you get there, it's a moment of truth. I threw that flag, it's confirmed back in the headquarters, or I picked that flag up, I don't want to disturb the pace of play, we move forward. To me, that's an easy fix, and with the technology and resources, we can make that happen right now.
I like what Mike Pereira is saying, and obviously if he's saying it, at being in that position, he knows what's needed and what's necessary, but I was going to say the same thing. Let's communicate. The quarterbacks can talk to their offensive coordinators from the booth. They get a certain amount of time. Let's communicate with the officials should have an open line of communications at all times.
Yes.
Did we get this call right? If we did, then keep moving on. It eliminates the delay in the game, going to a booth, waiting for somebody to call in and say, okay, we corrected this. No, to your point, that is a great solution to a situation that has to be resolved.
Yeah, I think that's a really good start. But even more importantly, I think that the referees need to be paid year-round. You know, I think that, you know, it's too much on the line because some of these refs during the offseason have other jobs.
Well, they have 24 full-time officials, but I hear you.
But, you know, it needs to be more referees with full-time jobs because these rules – and the game is consistently changing. Hmm. The rule book's growing every year. Something changing. It's special teams here. And it's so many changes that only you have a certain amount of time to make a big judgment call during the game. And if these guys aren't keeping up with times because it's not enough of them to be on the clock year-round because, look, when I'm not getting paid and you only bring them in for a certain situation, that's how much knowledge I'm putting into the game. Yeah. That's how much I know. So I think they need to not only start out with that but also bring – more referees in to work year around because when you're not getting paid, you're not involved, and you kind of, even as players, once you're not, you mentally check out from the game. These guys making these judgment calls can't check out from the game at any point in time. It's too much on the line.
Well, this spurred from the fact that you just look at all the instant replay systems that work in various sports. Bill Belichick going on record saying all plays should be reviewable. Now, us knowing the technology that exists and sensors and the communication, and I could be having a two-way conversation with headquarters, with the head official at all times during the moments. There was a moment when we played, and you remember the little RoboCam? Yep. Remember when they first introduced that, and everybody was like, oh, no, this is too much. What is it going to do? It's going to hit the ball, and it's going to affect the huddles. Now, that's commonplace. I think we just need to have some forward thinkers who are saying, this is a simple fix. All plays, like Bill Belichick said, should be reviewable, can be reviewable, and it doesn't have to disturb the time.
I like your idea. I think it's going to require more manpower because sometimes on a play, there's two or three flags. And so you're going to need more than one ref watching a single game and communicating with these guys. And that's why I say maybe five guys on the field, three guys in the booth. I do agree there needs to be more communication because the refs make a lot. You know, as an offensive line, I see too many holding calls that I completely disagree with. Just because a guy beats you up field and your arm is to the side and whatever, and I see him calling a hold, I was like, man, that's ridiculous. So I agree. The officials need more help, some communication from above. Greg makes a great point. We helping the quarterbacks on the field. We communicating with them. We communicating with the linebackers. Why aren't we communicating with the referees? And Sean's right. These referees should be full-time, and they should be working practices throughout the week. Practice makes perfect.
And all that added up is still going to be some plays.
Yeah, 100%.
Really going to be perfect.
We're joined now by NBA champion Donte Jones and NBA insider Chris Haynes. Let's move to the NBA and the Anthony Davis trade circuits. it's clear Davis's agent and LeBron's business partner, Rich Paul, is trying to leverage the Pelicans into trading the big man to the Los Angeles Lakers. Might that strategy backfire? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. By getting Davis to basically demand a trade now, Rich Paul may have angered the Pelicans executives to the point they may commit to trading Davis anywhere but Los Angeles. There's a chance that LeBron and Clutch Sports have overplayed their hand and put Magic Johnson and the Lakers in a bad position. James's month-long absence from the lineup, reported desire to remove Luke Walton as coach, and fast-tracking of the Davis situation have placed Magic on the NBA's hottest seat at the moment. Marcellus.
Yes, sir.
Do you think James and Magic are on the same page?
I actually think they're on the same page. Without the, let me say, negative connotation that it seems that's been implied here, like they're doing something devious or calculated or forced. I don't think so. I really think that this situation, they're on the same page, but they're trying to protect Magic Johnson. So there is an understanding of what we're trying to do, but let me dive a little deeper into it. So you don't just wake up on Monday morning 10 days away from a trade deadline, knowing there's another trade deadline for that same player who's going to be under contract the next year and an offseason, and say, it's time to force a trade. You don't do that. What you do is understand what the participants look like and who they are. Magic Johnson, who's been fined for tampering before, twice. So Magic Johnson, the closer, the great, can't be the opener anymore. Magic Johnson can't get involved with this anymore. Rich Paul and LeBron James, this is my little formula. This is my little understanding of it. Rich Paul and LeBron James says, we got to do this. Rich Paul, being a great agent, looks out for his client, Anthony Davis, first, says, where do you want to go? I'm going to Lakers. Okay, we're going to make sure that we do this clean and separate from Magic Johnson and the Lakers organization, because Magic Johnson can't get in this situation ever again. So when you say, are they all in connection, are they all in cahoots, I would say with the positive connotation of protecting Magic, protecting the Lakers, who've been fined a couple of times and still trying to get what they want, that prize free agent.
I think they're on the same page because they couldn't have predicted LeBron James's injury, number one. Number two, before LeBron James' injury, they hovered at fourth and fifth seeds with the current roster that they have, which was probably the best that they could be before the trade deadline, and added Tyson Chandler for a possible playoff run if they do add somebody after the trade deadline. So on the basketball side, I think they're on the same page. And obviously they both want to try and acquire AD. I think on the surface level, they are on the same page. They all are trying to move toward the same goal, which is try to make themselves a championship contender.
What you said in your intro that they might have upset the Pels. There ain't no might to it. They've upset. Look, you saw that statement they put out yesterday. You know, it was a clean statement until like the last sentence. They were like, and we've asked the league to look into a potential tampering charges. Now, it's gotten to a point where, look, are they on the same page? I think, yes, they are. But what you were talking about in discussing the agent, a player dynamic of where you want to go, that happens everywhere. You know, a player wants out, talks to his agent, okay, where you want to go? I want to go to New York. All right, we're going to see what we have to do. The situation with this is LeBron is involved as a front face, and that's why I think this is getting a lot of publicity. And look, another thing, I don't mean to go off on a tangent, but
go ahead.
I've never heard of players, and Dante, you can speak to this, players have always been allowed to talk about other players on the team. Talk about, I want to play on this team. I want to play for this guy. I want this guy to come over here. Now, all of a sudden, the NBA now wants to step in and say, well, that's tampering. It never used to be like that. It was always coaches and management couldn't do that. But players, if you look at articles throughout the history of players saying, hey, I would love to play with that guy. Nobody said anything because it brought so much attention to the game.
I just want to, everybody's saying they're on the same page. Mm-hmm. And so to me, the question is, do you think Magic was for the timing of this? That Magic, and again, off the record, on the record, whatever, I'm sure some of this had to be run by Magic. Do you think Magic was for, let's try to do the Davis deal immediately, because that's what it appears to be Rich Paul and or LeBron are pushing for? they want this deal done before the trade.
I would think he would be, because if you look at the landscape, waiting till free agency or waiting any more time, like in a Paul George case, could create some source of error. So at this point in time, it's like we got to make our best case chance for it right now and put us in the best position to get him without the Boston Celtics being on our back and be able to compete with us. Now, it may backfire on them, and the Pelicans were never going to be happy in this situation. They were never going to be happy when AD decided that he wanted to leave in free agency in 2020 or right now or in the offseason when he let them know that he was not going to resign. Either case, they were never going to be happy. They're never going to be happy that he's leaving. They just have to take their feelings out of it and find the best situation for the Pelicans and move on.
Yeah, I think Magic is sitting there with LeBron and sitting there with Rich Paul, people he truly respects, and says, y'all try and figure this out, because I can't be a part of this because of the tampering, because what's on my resume already. But two, you don't want to create a team of Pau Gasols. And if people don't remember, a few years ago, Pau Gasol was rumored in every single trade that the Lakers were having, and it really started to affect his play in L.A. Mm-hmm. You don't want what happened to this team a couple years ago when they were talking about D'Angelo Russell, and then all the other youngsters were like, is it him or is it me? You don't want that package to be presented from Magic and upstairs, because then if it's not accepted, because New Orleans is certainly not doing you any favors, then you still got to play with these guys and try to get them up to a standard that LeBron appreciates.
Well, let me add this too about it getting out. We were on it. I mean, some of the top reporters were on Rich and the Pels days before this news got out. We heard some about it. We couldn't get it confirmed to the point where Rich just had to say, okay, you guys got it. This is what it is. So it wasn't necessarily that they wanted to hurry up and get this out. We were on it. We heard about it. It happened 3 days before.
Okay,
the league got out.
This puts a lot of pressure on Magic Johnson, no? And if this doesn't happen, Magic looks like he failed.
No, by no means. Because the willingness of the Pelicans to negotiate at this point in time and take their feelings out of the equation. And as you spoke to, the Lakers and Pau Gasol, the Pau Gasol coming to the Lakers was an issue with what they took back.
Yeah.
But it ultimately helped the Memphis Grizzlies organization. They got a great player. They got a new future. They got a new direction. They won their first playoff game. Mm-hmm. I was a part of the team that didn't win playoff games. They rebuilt in that situation, and they were better off for it. And we cannot look at it as a negative connotation right now of losing one player and getting others to rebuild with. But no, Magic's job performance is going to be based on this summer coming up with free agents, not upon something on another team.
No Paul George, Kawhi Leonard don't like he's coming, and Magic is going to skate here?
He's in a tough spot. I don't know if he's going to skate, Wick, but he's in a tough spot because the Pels right now, they don't want to do any business with the Lakers. They want the league to step in. They want the league to find some wrongdoing on a part of Rich Paul and LeBron James to where it would enable them to be able to do a deal with the Lakers. So that's going to make it tough for Magic. So that's why if we're talking about getting a deal done, that's why Magic got to throw everything in the kitchen sink out there to New Orleans to try to, that's the only way the Pels going to get out of their feelings, if they really feel like they're getting over on this deal. I don't know if you really do get over, but Los Angeles got to give them everything they got.
Yeah, and that's why this reeks of desperation. I think Magic is going to escape from this because you still got the big joker of
reeks
all three.
Reeks of desperation by whom?
By like LeBron and Rich Paul, really, in terms of we want to make it happen right now. That's why I don't think it's so calculated. It's not well massaged. Remember when the Lakers
not on the same page?
I think they're on the same. I think they're on the same.
That's kind of what he's saying.
No, but the same page. Maybe you're clarifying for me. For me, same page is we all want this to happen.
Oh,
we
no, want to do this. Wants it to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a matter of when.
But you remember when the Lakers got in trouble with the league and the Chris Paul trade? You know what happened in that is when they came out after what was the CBA agreement, and they said, look, these big market teams, be careful of what you do. We have our moment right now where we're going to just stay distant from all these transactions and we're going to figure this out. And then Dan Gilbert took exception because there was a Chris Paul trade from New Orleans. Remember that?
Yep, I know.
The Lakers are never going to get favors, and now you just double down on the same kind of spirit that everyone is upset and resenting about the Lakers. I don't see this happening in the 10 days, like I said.
Speaking of execution of how this all went down, it seems like there was no other way. If Anthony Davis said he wanted to go to the Lakers, it had to go down now. We had to try it now. We have to try it now from a Rich Paul situation.
Why doesn't he say it, though?
But because he's not supposed to. And if he did, it would be disrespectful to the New Orleans Pelicans. But he's basically saying it right now. By letting it out, I'm saying without saying, we always don't have to say what we want. Our actions can speak for it.
And he has another year under his belt. So if he wants to get to L.A., he'll eventually get there.
I love Marcellus's use of the word desperation, because when I heard you on The Herd say that LeBron is willing to play second fiddle to Anthony Davis, that reeked of desperation. And again, when I say same page, Marcellus, you much smoother than me, you better looking at me, you never had this issue, but I've had it plenty of time. You out with a young lady, y'all been dating. We on the same page. Oh, we gonna do this. But then I try to quicken the pace and blow the whole thing up and never get it. That's the situation have right here. We're on the same page. We had it. It's gonna happen.
You ready to go?
False start. Blow the whole thing. Never speak to me again. Time to get antisocial. Greg Jennings is back with us. My favorite segment. All right, our social media manager, Darnell Smith.
You sound like you got some gravy coming through. Favorite segment.
Ooh.
Gravy. All right, Darnell, tell us what's popping on them Twitter streets.
Yeah, I got a few interesting stories from Super Bowl week. Mm. The Rams and Patriots are getting ready for their big showdown, while some other players are picking a different fight. Mm. A recent article floating online said the NFL is closing in on a $25 billion, with a B, revenue goal, leaving Texans DB Tyrann Mathieu to tweet, "That's a whole lot of chicken not to have guaranteed contracts." That is a lot of money. So I kind of feel the honey badger here. What do y'all think?
Oh, so when it was $15 billion, it wasn't a lot of chicken?
Yeah. Hey,
what do you need 25 for to get this?
Maybe it's $25 billion because they don't have guaranteed contracts.
Oh.
Hey, that don't mean they don't deserve it.
There it is.
Still means nothing to me. I see $25 billion going to the league. I feel like I should be getting some of that guaranteed.
Oh, he's not. They're not getting any of it.
Hey, look, talking about guarantee. He's getting some, but is it guaranteed?
Signing bonuses ain't guaranteed?
Man, I need my whole contract guaranteed.
And if it was guaranteed, you might be making the same $7 billion the NBA is making.
Ooh, you know what? Let's put ourselves in true negotiation. You should put yourself mentally on the other side of the table. 53 guys, the game of football, guaranteed. We just know.
You just watched the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
I get it.
Guys will lay down.
They will lay down.
I get it, but I feel like there's a certain group of guys that you kind of owe that to.
Yeah, they give it to quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Everybody else got to get
Matt Ryan.
Yeah. Forget just the quarterbacks. I need that too, baby.
I'm with you. I'll take it.
You're trying to get paid.
Tyra, love you, but I'm giving you a little Twitter off.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
All right, sticking in Atlanta, did y'all see any opening night yesterday? Players and coaches from both teams conducted interviews and hung out to kick off the week of festivities. Opening night always has a few surprise standout performances. I know y'all remember Marshawn Lynch's famous, "I'm just here so I don't get fined."
Yeah.
But my favorite clip yesterday was a key to lead interviewing 71-year-old Wade Phillips. Check this out.
Like, Coach, when you really, really figured, like, you really got this defensive coordinator stuff under control, like, you really could be pretty good at this?
Well, I've been popping since my demo, baby.
Pull up to the party and you know I'm looking clean. Swagger so mean, it's embedded in my jeans. Everything dope, turn your lady to a fiend.
Oh, Marcellus, I know you're a big Wade Phillips guy.
Hell yes.
Is he the most loved guy in the NFL?
Absolutely. One, because of his genius. He's a great coach. His spirit, he's always even keel, even in the trying moments. I played for him he was a D coordinator and head coach for me. This dude trusts his players, and he's hip and funny. Like, and he won't hide it. Like, you know how some people get a little tough and a little tight in big moments? Wade's the same dude. Wade used to coach without a headset and winning games. And like, look, dude, I already told you what to do Monday through Saturday. I'm not about to yell now. And I'm telling you, players love to run through walls for Wade Phillips. I'm glad to get his props.
From what I've heard from other players who've played with him, been around him, they absolutely love him. My encounters with him, he just meets everybody where they are. He's just real. Like, I'm gonna meet you where you are. I can be a chameleon. Yep. If you're hip hop, I can be that too. Exactly. Like, players love that, and they give more to coaches who do things like that. I love Wade Phillips.
Got nothing to add, Darnell. What's next? Wade's a hot boy.
You don't have a relationship with Wade?
Boy. I don't know Wade.
You don't know Wade?
Hot boy.
All right, man. Let's gears of Patrick Mahomes, who's expected to win MVP award at NFL Honors this Saturday night. It's hard to imagine this guy wasn't even playing a year ago when he made his debut in week 17. But fortunately for us, the internet never forgets some of our boldest takes. Whitlock, listen to this one of our buddy Colin Cowherd asking you about Mahomes versus Alex Smith.
Whitlock, will Kansas City regret giving up on Alex Smith?
Yes.
Whitlock, I know you love the Chiefs, but do you think their fans will ever let you live this down?
Yeah, they won't let me live it down. And I can't believe Arrowhead Pride did me this way. I've shown them nothing but love and support through the years. Yeah, I was wrong here.
Yes.
I'm friends with Alex Smith.
Oh, don't
obviously
do that.
I have some
don't
affinity for Alex Smith. But, you know, I'm happy Patrick Mahomes is the Chiefs quarterback.
Yo, I'll give you that. There's a site called Freezing Cold Takes.
Yeah, I love that.
You own it. You better love it because this is what your home is. That was disturbing that you didn't even, like,
Think about it.
Alex Smith just balled out last year.
Did you
see? For the Chiefs.
Did you even hear the rumblings of Patrick Mahomes coming? Like, every player was like, dude.
Michael Vick was on the show and let us know.
Yes.
This guy is for real. I've seen him up close.
I get that. Alex Smith the year before had balled out, turnover-free football. Look, Patrick Mahomes, great arm, but his reputation also was he threw picks.
Yeah.
And so, again, were they going to miss? The Chiefs were like 13-3 the year before, and Alex Smith balled out.
Look at that breath for that
I was wrong.
I give it to you. Nobody expected this out of Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, I took one more exception from that clip. What? I didn't know the person in the seat could ask the questions to you like that. He had a lot more power than me. I'm sitting over here in 9-minute Whitlocks, and then Colin over here running the show, running point guard. All right, I'll figure you out.
Darnell, let's get to the question of the day, our newest feature for the day.
Let's do it.
Take it away, Darnell.
It's Darnell.
This is my guy.
My question of the day.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
You're over here gloating.
I'm with this.
It look good.
You do.
Anyway, man, so look. One of my homeboys out here invited me to his Super Bowl party this Sunday. Obviously, I'm excited. I appreciate the invite. But keeping it real, any event he's ever had, the food is trash. And just being honest. And for a Super Bowl Sunday, I want my wings. I want my queso. I want my meatballs. So I really don't want to go. Would I be wrong if I didn't show up?
Not to me. I think it's a backwards world when you can't tell your friends the exact honest truth. Like, it's weird. Like, you can go up to a stranger and just tell them what you think. And then somebody close to you, give them the 100%. I'll tell them,
Super Bowl Sunday is a big deal for me. And I quit with the parties. I like to experience the game, hear the commentary. I don't like answering silly questions. And so, you know, I keep my circle on Super Bowl Sunday very small, and I definitely order every damn thing I want to eat. That's like the new holiday. That's better than Christmas to me, Super Bowl Sunday. I get the feeling.
Hey, I'm looking at you, Darnell. You a healthy young man. You obviously you enjoy eating.
So
if you feel like the food trash, it's simple math. One plus one don't really equal two in this category. Man, you need to tell your boy, unless we gonna have this on the menu, I can't get down.
right. So basically.
But hold on. How come you can't call your boy and say, hey, man, step your game up?
Thank you. We've had these conversations in the past, and like I said, it never changes.
What about DoorDash or Uber Eats? Like, you can't order some food to supplement what they got?
If you invite me to your place for your party, I shouldn't have to spend my money to bring food.
Ooh, you bougie, one.
Basically,
two,
we in LA.
Bougie,
basically,
one.
You already know what you need to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm gonna make up some, tell them I'm not feeling good that morning.
So you're not going
straight.
To Whitlock's. You're not going to go to Whitlock's, then. Is that what you're saying?
I ain't going to Whitlock's, just saying.
Oh, your food trash.
Ain't nobody ever called my food trash. But look, my food.
We're like, order.
Man, I think there's a deeper reason here, because again, the solutions here are real
too easy.
They're too easy.
I
think you deeper need to reason. Your boy. Y'all it's really not that tight.
Oh, man.
That's
if you listen to, man, don't listen to Whitlock. You probably done heard that. You about to get a phone call after the show now, man.
Or any connections in that house outside of your boy? I knew it. He don't want to be bothered.
Next.
Who can be picked? I'm Jason Whitlock. He's Marcellus Wiley. It's time to put on our thinking caps.
Yes.
Dante Jones and Chris Haynes are back. Duke grad. Chris, where'd you go to school?
Fresno State.
Fresno State. Right, I remember.
Border culture grad.
All right, as you all know, I'm a journalist, and we've got our resident Ivy Leaguer here, Columbia's very own Marcellus Wiley.
Let me put on
We're going to take a deeper look at some big issue in sports. Got a special cap for
now.
Marcellus. Darnell, bring it out.
Uh-huh.
Is it a Gucci hat?
Oh,
what are these?
Glasses?
Oh man.
I never wore these glasses either. You know I was caught up in them streets buying these glasses.
I'm not going to tell you about the front of the hat.
Rook, I didn't know Darnell had legs. Never seen him from behind there.
All right. Let's move to the NBA, where Anthony Davis's trade request continues to reverberate across the league. Now Kevin Durant has come out and supported Davis's request, saying, quote, "We want guys to do exactly what they want to do in this league." Durant is no stranger to switching teams himself. And in recent years, we've seen a rash of superstars from LeBron to Kawhi Leonard to Jimmy Butler, among others, bounce around the league either in free agency or by forcing trades. You know, I think it was just the segment before where we talked about the NFL generating $25 billion in revenue. And the NBA generates about $7.5 billion in revenue, where the players can do whatever they want willy-nilly. The players don't have to care about the business. It's just their happiness and doing exactly what they want to do. Isn't that what you do? I worked for 30 years to get in a position.
But when you got in that position, you have the ability to decide which network that you wanted to work for? And when you got there, you're absolutely happy right now. You're sitting pretty and you do a great job. And your dream job right now. I don't understand you with this.
Yeah. So why does a 25-year-old get to enjoy the benefits of what a 50-year-old has earned? And look, there's a lot of 50-year-olds sitting. There's a lot of 50-year-olds sitting at home on jobs where they can't do exactly what they want to do, and they can't go from here to there, and they're making $40,000-$50,000 a year.
Blood, sweat, and tears for something for their
genetic lottery.
No, it's no genetic lottery. Some freak athletes, some people way better than me that had great talent and had the ability to do what I did, but it's called concentration, it's called dedication, it's called blood, sweat, and tears, putting something, your life on the line for a sport for 20 years.
That's what got Michael Beasley.
Yes, yes, dedication to his craft.
Talent,
like dedication to your craft.
Now,
Michael Beasley, that's what I got. Michael
Wait, Beasley. If you just you just said about the other segment, if you that other level you can go to, that other set of dedication that you could have put into your
that
craft,
110%.
That 110% that you put in, those kids put that in and got and reaped the benefits. And then there's some people who get more than others out of it and are more talented, and their talent speaks volumes.
And our careers are more elongated than a professional athlete. So if they play 4 or 5 years at a high level, then they're at a certain status to where they can dictate where they go. Opposed to us, we have to work 20, 30 years to get to a certain place before we reach that step. Just this is a little different.
Timeline is different.
Don't kill the millennials.
So what are we discussing?
It's not the millennials. It's just period. It's period.
I hear you.
It hurt the league? NBA ratings down. Just throwing that fact out
Ron
there.
LeBron James in the West Coast.
Seven, and that's part of it.
Can't stay up.
Generate $7 billion. Despite all the media hype about how great the NBA is and Adam Silver and David Stern, the smartest people to ever hit the sports world, they generate $7 billion. The league that has less player freedom generates $25 billion. But continue.
Economic correlation. Give it to me.
Yeah, y'all wasting my glasses, man. I ain't getting no talk up here. To really hone in on the question and answer that, I think it's helping the product. I am more entertained by the NBA right now than I ever been, minus one thing from yesteryear, which was the tension, the adversarial feeling and that emotional distance that the players seem to have from their opponents. I do want to take some of that and bring it to today's times. What that said, every single other element of today's game to me is better. Let's not even talk about athleticism. Let's not even talk about skill level. Let's
The yesteryear product, man, if you ever watch it.
It's not about yesteryear. It's about player mobility and is it okay. helping the league.
I think it's helping. I mean, you guys dictating terms. And let's lose the myth that the NBA has ever been competitive in terms of competitive balance, what Charles Barkley
okay.
said. Okay. First of all, 13 okay. teams have not won a championship. Uh-huh. There's only 30. Yes. So then let's talk about the ones who haven't won one since we've been alive damn near. The Knicks and other teams. Like, half of this league, you're doomed from hello. It's just the way it is. So for now, these stars to go to the places where they deem most attractive, and that changes sometimes. It is small markets at times. I like this because it's a reshuffling of the deck. But let's not act like all the cards are valued the same. Some places are better
than
others.
Can I ask you to do this for me, though, Marcel?
Yes, sir.
And again, I get how you feel. But can you analyze how the public feels about the NBA? Is it helping the league? You're fine and dandy with it.
Okay.
You live out here in Los Angeles. This weather every day makes almost everything seem fine and dandy. I'm talking about the rest of sports-loving America. Is it help all the player mobility? Is it a help?
Anybody else?
I think it is. I think the league is moving in the right direction, not because I played the sport, but it's progressing in the right direction. It has growth. But speaking to the player point, right, KG said it eloquently. Kevin Garnett. He supports AD's want to leave because if he competed for a championship more years, there would be no, in my mind, no doubt about it that he would have been the best power forward in basketball. But he didn't get a chance to compete for a championship like Tim Duncan did because his organization was better. Pop and them did a better job. He stayed with Minnesota so long, and he got his championship at the end of his career. He got the ability to fight on the back end for a championship while Tim was fighting his whole career because he had a better organization. And your legacy is at bay on organizations when you don't have player movement. Some greats have not had a chance to play for a championship, and you forget about them because they weren't in the spotlight, they weren't in the championship.
But wait, also you think about, like, okay, do the fans like it as a whole? I don't know. But we're talking about players who feel the pressure and the stresses of not securing the championship. When you think about the greats who haven't, Patrick Ewing, Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, these are some of the greatest players who ever touch a basketball, but they always will have a negative stain to their reputation. Players
among
look at that
Charles
stuff.
Barkley as well, your guy.
Among people who think simplistically, they will have a negative stain. And it's a nice little joke. But the reality is Charles Barkley could ball. Dan Marino could ball. These people that
the
don't
joke
have.
Is always, the pun is always. No Shaq tells them all the time. Well, don't talk to me. You ain't got no championship.
Didn't Charles play for
Houston?
A big three?
Yeah, he went to Houston.
Yeah, he
and he didn't get it done, but he tried to get it done. He didn't get it done. And no disrespect, if Charles was on a championship team, Charles' name will be more remembered than what it is. It's another level that he could have went to as well.
Because he's the biggest voice on basketball right now.
But it's not. He got that seat because of his talent.
Yeah.
But he would have been remembered by this generation differently, not just because he's on the TNT desk, because of his talent, because he was in a championship contention.
I just think jumping from team to team
drama
is a shortcut, and I don't think the average fan respects it as much as the guy that toiled in a city and was loyal to that fan base and loyal to that team. I don't think they respect. And again, I understand loyalty works both ways and ownership and all. I get all that. I'm talking as a fan. I don't think this works. I don't think it's a success. The NBA is having some success. Not as much success if they had a little bit more control over the player.
But see, when you hear the word loyalty, especially in sports, and you talk about the draft process, which, you know, synonymous to, like, you're forced to be there for those few years to play. So it's not a real loyal situation because I never got to exercise.
Exactly.
I never got to exercise on my freedom.
Yeah. Like, and you have like 7 years to get it right for that player.
So,
right,
y'all acting like kids are sitting around like, oh, God. I want to make it to the NBA, but it's going to be so terrible. I may get drafted by Sacramento. I'm not sure if I want to play in the NBA. Let me go do something else. It ain't that bad getting drafted in Sacramento.
But
is
there something better? I understand. Right. Like, that's the only thing. When you can control and dictate terms.
You can't dictate.
You can't
dictate. Yes, they can.
You can't dictate when your team wants to tank.
And they're hurting the product.
You can't dictate team wants to tank or team wants to win. You can't dictate. Upstairs does.
Greg Jennings and Sean Merriman are back. Let's return to the Super Bowl, which is exactly what the Patriots have been doing for most of the last two decades. Their 9 appearances in the big game since Brady and Belichick got together hasn't exactly made them the most popular team around the league. And Rams' big mouth corner, Nikhil Roby-Coleman, made it clear there's no love lost for New England, saying he hates the Patriots because they're, quote, arrogant. I think he's misdiagnosed the Patriots. I don't think of the Patriots as arrogant. Mm-mm. And so I think their fan base is arrogant, but I don't think the Patriots are arrogant.
Yeah, I don't think they're arrogant as well. There is a complexion that comes from dominance that some people, like you say, misdiagnose and calls it arrogant. You set a new standard. You set a new level of achievement and the way that you actually handle your business. Your decorum's different. You know, you get a promotion at your job, people look at you like, oh, look at you, you don't change. You're all cocky. I'm not at the water cooler no more. I'm senior level exec, baby. You know what I'm saying? You got to come over here with a different understanding of where I am. And I think the Patriots, when you play them, they never beat themselves. They're not arrogant because they are paying attention to all the fine details. I don't understand where the arrogance comes from, and I hate when people say they run up the score. When you cross the white lines,
you better stop me.
Boy, you better stop me. Them packs are out the door.
Yeah, I hate is a very strong word. I mean, my mother always said, don't use hate, but they are highly unliked. I would like to say that. And that, even when we played them, I never felt it came from them because you never heard a player talk trash. They always kept everything in-house. They find a way. We're not worried about that. We're just trying to go out and handle business. Everything was a business conversation with them. Now, the fan base is the reason why people hate them because you can't say anything about the Patriots without all of them jumping on you. I mean, if I say something right, I'm going to get lit up on Twitter. I'm going to get lit up on the social media. And it's not anything. You say something about Tom Brady. Hey, he's getting a little older and whatever. Oh, you hate Tom Brady. No, I don't hate Tom Brady. He's just 41 years old. He's getting older just like everybody else. So it's not coming from the organization or the team. It's just what's surrounding the team. And the reason why they're hated the way they are across the NFL is more importantly because of their fan base.
They're simply the gold standard of the NFL and of sports. This is what every organization and every player wants to experience and achieve. Consecutive years of success and stacking that success every single year. And you know that they will do it if you don't do something to stop them to do it. And when you listen to Nikhil Roby, I'm with you, Marcellus. When you talk about running up the score, don't give me that.
I hate you.
Don't give me that because if you were on the other end of it, you want to keep on, you're going to give me buckets. You're going to keep on scoring touchdowns every single chance you get.
Yeah.
If it were you.
You're right.
So now it's not you. You want me to stop.
Yeah, and they don't understand how we practice. There are times when, the game is out of control. And coach is like, we worked on a lot of things that may come up in meaningful situations, do or die. So let's just go and run that right now when it doesn't cost us that much. So, we're up 35 on you. We're going to try this crazy play because we want to see how it works in real game tempo. And if you call that running up the score, stop it. It's just that simple.
I'm going to go all the way here, and we've got very little time. You don't have to spend a lot of time responding. My high school, Warren Central, is a predominantly black high school, dominant football program right now. We have a rival, Carmel, suburban, predominantly white school. The Patriots are the suburban white school of the NFL. And when I hear Nikhil Roby and some people hate the Patriots, whatever, same feeling me and my high school have towards Carmel High School. And so, again, they're the suburban white team that comes in with their little white receivers and puts a clown suit on you, and people get upset. It's just a fact.
Because of the race part or just because of the dominance?
Because they good.
It's both.
Because you don't expect them to be good because they're suburban?
It's both. I've seen it a million times.
I felt that in Pop Warner. I remember when the inner city teams and we go out there and we play the other teams. We're like, well, they don't look that good. And then they be disciplined and then they call all the penalties on us. We're like, why they calling all the penalties on us? I remember that. But nah, that's not the Patriots, man. The Patriots don't wear any of that. You can miscalculate their talent. You can say that that's not enough to beat us.
I don't think the Patriots do anything but go out there and play football. It's the way everybody perceives them and receives them. Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Nickell Robey-Coleman. Uncle Jimmy, what are you? Black Magic now, what?
Really? I got to be Black Magic?
Dave Chappelle. Dave Copperfield, what?
What are you? That's not a trick.
I can pull a rabbit out of a hat.
I can see the glove still in there.
You're the worst. Man, stop playing, man. Damn, always give me a hard time.
So you're a magician?
No, actually what I found out, serious business, if I dress like this and just stand outside, people just walk up and give me the keys to their car. Yeah. I got two Teslas. Yep. I got two Teslas the other day.
All right, well,
allegedly.
Let's take a look at a highlight from our discussion earlier about Nickell Robey-Coleman. Rams defensive back Nickell Robey-Coleman is continuing one of the Super Bowl's great tradition. He's going to be Super Bowl 53's Joe Namath. Robey-Coleman is attempting to trash talk his way into Super Bowl history.
I think the emotional advantage is with the Rams because even in the big moments, they're sticking true to their spirit and to their guns. If this is who you are, the slot god, you know what? When you're going against the GOAT, don't change who you are. And I like the fact that he is talking the same talk that has gotten them this far.
All right, Uncle Jimmy, I think he's given the Patriots a little bit of an advantage. Uncle Jimmy, what's your take?
Well, first of all, let me say that I really do personally like Nickell Robey-Coleman. First of all, you got two last names. I like them. As y'all know, I got about 15 stepkids. And all of them until today carry my last name. They carry their mama last name and their daddy last name. You know, I was the Brady Bunch when Mike and Carol Brady was still on their first marriage. You
know what I'm saying? Man, we asked you about Nickell Robey-Coleman. We ain't talking about your marriage history. Chill out.
Easy, Marcellus. What the hell wrong with you? Damn, beef sweat. What the hell?
I love that. Beef sweat. Beef sweat.
Oh,
that's amazing. Gotta keep that.
Hold up, man.
Beef sweat.
I like the young boy, man, for real. He got swag. See, one thing about my nephew, man, he don't like nothing he can't have or understand. Thus meaning he couldn't spell swag if you spotted him the S, the two A's, and them other letters.
Hold on to the two A's. What word are you spelling?
But damn, man, quit interrupting, man. You rude, crude, downright sociably unacceptable in my personal words. But my point is on everything, seriously, man, somebody need to tell the Patriots. Marcellus. They lost the damn Super Bowl last year. They running around like they don't know. Talking about, we still here. Excuse me, the Eagles still beat your ass.
So you think the Patriots are arrogant?
That's a stupid-ass question, Marcellus.
You owe me today. I love it.
That's the kind of question I would expect from my nephew.
He rubbing off on me, man.
Yes, the Patriots are arrogant. That's why I can't wait till Sunday. It's gonna go down, y'all, for real. These young boys, these Rams, they got something special going on for Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Gronk, and all of them. All them. This gonna be a rematch of Larry Holmes. And who do y'all always like to compare Tom Brady to? Muhammad Ali. All of the all-time greats always go down ugly. Hey, man, listen to me. When Aaron Donald and then the Dom the Kinsu, hey, man, they're going to be doing like this. They're going to be like, hey, you better get over here and get him. He hurt. Come get him. Tell me he's going to play till he's 45. Bet he won't say it.
Bet he won't say it.
Hey, man, Gazelle's going to walk into the press conference and grab him by the ear. Watch what I tell you. On the free, y'all gonna watch this game Sunday. Marcellus, you from Compton, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, when Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib get done with Tom Brady, hey, man, gonna look like they jumped him into the Crips. Gonna look like he got jumped in.
I'm 45. Leave me alone.
Shut your ass up. Shut up. You want to play this game?
All right, we got to get to our approval rating for Nikhil Roby Coleman. I don't have him at a dumpster fire.
Wow. Why?
Although Uncle Jimmy is today.
Yes, yes.
Job performance, a 10. All-time greatness, a 4. Character, I'll give him a 16. Authenticity, I think he's doing too much. Just a 10. I got him at a 40, just above a dumpster fire.
Man, boy, but it's hot. That fire close to him, boy.
Go ahead, Beef Sweat.
That's the best nickname ever. I give him a 54. He's scout team for me. On the field, he is the slot god, but you know what? The nickname is a little bit better than the game, but still give him respect. 8. All-time great 3. 21 in character. I like a guy who's sticking to his guns. I like a guy who's just like, look, this is me. I bring smoke. I can inhale smoke. And authenticity, 22. Respect for this guy for keeping it thorough and not changing up who he is. That's who he is.
Uncle Jimmy, we don't cuss on this show.
Yeah, that part. Man, when them Thundercats get done with him.